Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 29, Text Number 14. Please repeat. Vinam Nishayasa Arthaya Vyaktihi Bhagavata Vipa Avyayasya Aprameyasya Nirgunasya Gunatmana Vinam Nishaya Sarkaya Yatir Bhagavato Vipa Avyayasya Prameyasya Nirgunasya Gunatmana Vinam Vinam for humanity. Nishreyasa, of the highest benefit. Artaya, for the purpose. Yaktihi, the personal appearance. Bhagavataha, of the Supreme Lord. Nripa, O King. Avyayasya, of him who is inexhaustible. Aprameyasya, immeasurable. Nirgunasya, untouched by material qualities. Gunatmanaha, the controller of the material modes. Translation purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. O King, the Supreme Lord is inexhaustible and immeasurable, and he is untouched by the material modes because he is their controller. His personal appearance in this world is meant for bestowing the highest benefit on humanity. Purport. Since Lord Krishna descends to benefit mankind in general, why would he neglect innocent young girls who loved him more than anyone else did? Although the Lord rewards himself to his pure devotees, he is avyaya, inexhaustible, because he is aprameya, immeasurable. He is also nirguna, free of material qualities. And thus those who intimately associate with him are on the same spiritual platform. He is Gunatma, the controller or original personality behind the modes of nature, and it is specifically for this reason that he is free of them. In other words, because the modes of nature are his energy, they cannot act upon him. Om Gyanmatam Anvasya Anandana Shalakaya Chakshur Miltam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. There are many points in this short purport, verse purport. We're going to focus on one of them, which isn't emphasized much in the purport. It's indirectly mentioned, but it's prominently mentioned in the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as the most significant word in this verse. That word is in the first line, Nishreyasa. Nishreyasa. And there are many other points here which could be, of course, expanded. The qualities of the Lord, basically, this verse is describing his attributes, some of his unlimited attributes, such as here, Gunatmanaha. He's untouched by the material modes of nature, because the material energy is his, coming from him. He's not affected by it. Sometimes, probably as an example, like a spider. Sometimes a spider makes a web, very mystical. It's amazing how incredibly intricate and brilliant the web is. It's actually a work of art. It's incredible art. The extent the spider is just doing it. It just seems to happen in no time. He's empowered. And all other, at least maybe a lot of flying insects, they get caught in the web. The flies and insects and stuff. They get caught in the web, but the spider is completely, he doesn't get caught at all. He just runs across the web as easy as that. And he just winds the web up whenever he wants to. And it goes back inside, out again. So it's material, not a perfect example, but sometimes Prabhupada gives that as an example to indicate the power or potency of the Lord and how he's unaffected by his own energetic expansions. So this is one of the points here. Now on the other two aspects here, avyayasya, inexhaustible, and apramayasya, immeasurable. These two qualities in relationship with this word, nishreyasa. Nishreyasa. This word nishreyasa means of the highest benefit. Highest benefit. And the last line of the translation, his personal appearance in this world, yukti, his personal appearance in this world is meant for bestowing, the purpose is artaya. Artaya was the purpose, the value. The purpose of this appearance in this world is to nishreyasa on all the minam, means humanity, to bestow the highest benefit on humanity. This is why he appears in this world. He doesn't appear in this world as the verse mentions indirectly or something. Certainly not in this world as an ordinary living entity who comes into this world as a prisoner, more or less, due to karma being awarded or punished. And Prabhupada also gives examples sometimes when the king may also visit a, in these days, maybe a member of parliament or a minister or something, may visit a prison house, but he's not a prisoner. Practically, the king, of course, he is the controller of the prison. He ultimately, it's under his control. And he also has limited extent. The jurisdiction or the power to show mercy or compassion on the prisoner. Sometimes they get released by his power, by his will. So the Lord has this in an unlimited way, an immeasurable way. It's not limited. In this world, we are very much limited, and by time, place, and circumstance. But Krishna is not. He's present in every time, place, and circumstance. He's not at all limited, and he can bestow his mercy everywhere at the same time. And he can be present everywhere at the same time, which we cannot. This is his immeasurable, as pramayasya, an inexhaustible avyaya. These qualities of God only. We cannot claim that we have these characteristics to a small degree, but not to anywhere near the degree that the Lord possesses these qualities. But we're going to talk on this word, or at least direct the discussion around nishreyasa. We have shreya and prayas. Shreyas and prayas. What is shreyas? Yeah, long-term benefit. In practical terms, long-term benefit. And prayas? Short-term benefit. Immediate sense gratification. Both are found in our, relatively speaking, in our experience in this life. But the prayas has become perhaps more prominent, especially in terms of real shreyas, which means beyond this particular body which we're in now. More or less everything everybody does in this world today is, in that sense, is prayas, because it's all directed towards trying to satisfy the present body which they're in. Some are pious, perhaps they're praying for performing some austerities to get to the heavens or liberated or something, so a little bit more on the shreyas side, but it's still not really, it's not nishreyas, which is the highest benefit. And the highest benefit is to get permanent release from this bodily concept of life and to, with freedom from all the shackles. It's my punya agra, this material word is described like a shackles behind bars. All these bars of lust and greed and anger and so on, envy, which shackle the living entity in this world. Free from all of these various enemies, obstacles on the path. And not just free, but attached to the lotus feet of Krishna. So Krishna appears in this world, as we know in Bhagavad Gita, to paritunaya sadhanam, to show his mercy upon the devotees. Especially by many reasons, performing pastimes, enlivening the devotees. They become enlivened by hearing the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. We have Prabhupada's given us Krishna book, Srimad Bhagavatam, based upon this. Srimad Bhagavatam, which we're reading now, is 10th canto of Bhagavatam, and it's very enlivening to hear the Krishna book. We used to hear Krishna book every evening together, drink hot milk and read the Krishna book. Very, very enlivening. And we go to bed sometimes hearing or remembering the pastimes of Krishna. It's a very nice way to finish the day. And rather than just let the mind wander onto whatever happens to come its way. So the idea, this is mercy. The Lord performs these pastimes, Prabhupada says, so that we have something to think about. They had plenty to think about already, that's for sure. But something shreyas to think about. We have plenty of prayers to think about. Not prayers. We can pray for shreyas. But not that we should just be controlled by prayers, just material, if you take it in that term, as material, temporary enjoyment, immediate, whatever comes to the mind, practically we follow it. So this is the purpose. The Lord comes performs his wonderful pastimes, so we've got something really nishreyas to remember, something ultimate benefit for all of humanity, the highest benefit. This word comes up many times in Prabhupada's books. And the highest benefit, in almost every case, it refers to the highest benefit, the ultimate goal, like that. So this is these pastimes are at the end of this Leela, must be the 33rd chapter. Is Vikriditam Vajavadubhiriditam Chavishnahu. Anyone who faithfully hears or describes the Lord's playful affairs with the young gopis of Vrindavan will attain the Lord's pure devotional service. Thus he will quickly become sober and conquer lust, the disease of the heart. There were two things there we were discussing last night. Kleshagniyam Subhada, the beginning stages of pure devotional service, that the Kleshagniyam, the removal of the causes of misery or the anartas, etc., and the awakening of all auspiciousness, which is devotional service to Krishna, take place. The extraordinary power of Lord Krishna's conjugal pastimes is clearly revealed here. Qualitatively, the Lord's spiritual loving pastimes are the diametric opposite of material, lusty affairs. So much so that simply by hearing about the Lord's pastimes, a devotee conquers sex desire. By reading pornographic literature or hearing about material romance, we certainly do not conquer sex desire, but rather increase our lust. But hearing or reading about the Lord's conjugal affairs is exactly the opposite effect, because they are of the opposite nature, being purely spiritual. Therefore it is by the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna that he exhibits his rasa lila within this world. His causeless mercy. He exhibits this rasa lila within this world. If we become attached to this narration, we will experience the bliss of spiritual love and thus reject the perverted reflection of that love, which is called lust. As nicely put by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, once having directly experienced the Supreme, one will not return to material pleasure. This is his mercy, that he performs these various pastimes, variety of pastimes, when he appears for our benefit. So many different relationships, different types of rasas which he has with different personalities, and by hearing these pastimes here in the Krishna book, knowingly or unknowingly, one's life becomes auspicious. It's the highest benefit that anyone can have in this day and age, is to come across this transcendental literatures glorifying the personality of Godhead, describing him in truth. Whether people know it or not, they get unlimited benefit. By one time he wrote it, if they read one page, one line, even one word, their lives become perfect or successful, something like that. This is the benefit of reading from a pure devotee of the Lord, of hearing this. This is the medicine of Oshishi Chotra Manogi Ramat Kutama Sloka Gunana Vadat. It's the Ushadi medicine to cure the Bhava rogue. Bhava in this case doesn't mean ecstasy, it means the ocean of birth and death. To release us from the ocean of birth and death. We have to hear this topic from the Nivritta-Krishna, those who are like in this verse, Gunatman, that they are above the modes of nature. They are not affected by the modes. They are Nivritta-Krishna, they are free from sex desire. Basically what it means. So, such a personality, and Prabhupada mentions in the purport in the third chapter also that one must hear Srimad Bhagavatam from one who is free of sex desire. To see Krishna on the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, they can reveal Krishna just for the deity. Also we have the Lord's merciful appearance in the form of Shishi Radha Balabha, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Shishko Nitai. And they're also giving us this opportunity to, this morning was, well, last night I suppose, I remember some another was going to sleep and I was remembering the Balaban. Very nice. They've come here to give us their mercy, showering their mercy upon us by their merciful glance and give us an opportunity to purify our senses and engage our senses in their service, the perfection of our lives, to engage our senses, sent, present in the service of the Lord who's appeared in this form, with whom we can reciprocate, we can visualize and meditate upon. And this is devotional service, this is the goal of our lives. So this word, Nishreyasya, the most merciful Lord, appears in this way to bestow His mercy on all. And no form of the Lord is more merciful in this regard than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mo Mahavadanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishna Krishna Chaitanya, Namne Gaur Krishna. The Guru Goswami describes Lord Chaitanya as the Namo Mahavadanyaya, he's the most magnanimous of all the forms of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya is known as the benediction moon. The moon, Prabhupada describes, shines its rays on everyone. You may be number one sinner, you may be number one philanthropist, whatever you are described as in this world, the moon doesn't generally discriminate. The moon rays are available for all who take advantage of it, same with the sun. Of course, if we're very sinful, we may be born in a place like London where occasionally the sun shines. They used to say that the sun never sets on the British Empire. Now they say it never rises on the British Empire. But it does, I mean, it's not that bad. But it's, Prabhupada described London as hell. He was asked one time, is the Bhagavad Gita spoken in the hellish planets? Prabhupada said, yes, we are speaking here in London. People think it's a very nice place. But he went there to bestow his mercy on humanity, or Krishna's mercy on humanity, coming through the pure devotee. This is how Krishna's mercy is now being bestowed all over the world. He appears himself by the mercy also of the pure devotee, otherwise he doesn't manifest himself in the form of deity, and he's manifest, as we heard the other day, in Namrup, Krishna Avatar, in this Kali, Namrup, he's coming as a holy name, showering his mercy on all, and as devotees, carrying that message far and near, so that people knowing you unknowingly get the benefit of the benediction moon. And their lives become auspicious. They may not know it, but a little bit of contact with Krishna consciousness never goes in vain. There's no loss at all, only gain in Krishna consciousness in that sense. So we should take it upon ourselves to try to fill our lives more and more with Krishna consciousness. Krishna Katha. Where is Krishna Katha? Not here this morning. Working. So we have to fill our lives with more and more, ultimately 24 hours a day, but as much time as we have spare, try to hear and chant about Krishna. This is the most fortunate opportunity we could ever get. And we're so fortunate. This will purify our heart like the sun. You know, it's a little wintry right now. When you go out in the sun, you feel good, more or less. And this is, the sun just doesn't get affected, even though it may shower its rays upon a contaminated place, some urine, whatever stool, the object becomes purified in the presence of the sun. It becomes purified. So in the presence of Krishna Katha, presence of the personality who's full of Krishna consciousness, everything becomes purified. Everything becomes like Vrindavan or like Kunti, you could say in one sense. But it becomes purified in their presence. This is their mercy. Even they don't speak, still their presence is all auspicious and beneficial. We are so fortunate to have had this and still have this opportunity that Srila Prabhupada is here, showering his mercy upon us and his followers and all of the devotees here, everybody who comes in contact with Prabhupada and becomes instrumental in assisting him in spreading this mercy to others. He's appeared for this purpose. Also becomes all auspicious and very fortunate and unaffected by the modes of nature. Although we are not inexhaustible in the same sense or immeasurable in the same sense, the message which we are fortunately carrying is, it is immeasurable. The Lord's mercy is also immeasurable and inexhaustible. Other people's mercy may have a little bit of prayer's effect, and sometimes it will astray us, but it's not in the same category. The Lord's mercy is unlimited. He bestows, when he appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're going to read something very nice, one of my favorite sections from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I remember many, many years ago in England, I was a poverty-stricken brahmachari. Now I'm a multi-millionaire, as you can see. But then I was a poverty-stricken brahmachari. I had no money whatsoever. And that was the definition of the brahmachari. If you had money, then you were requested to change your ashram. Brahmacharis were not meant to have money in those days. I don't know about now. But sometimes you have to use your common sense and be practical, but in principle. So I was hitchhiking. Paul, you know what hitchhiking is? You still have hitchhikers? Still a few left. But they're not so common. Those days they were quite common. But I would hitchhike like this, with my shaved head and dhoti and everything, around the United Kingdom, when I had to travel around, preaching or whatever it was. We had no vehicle or money to catch a bus. So that was the method I used to employ to get around. And it was quite interesting because we would constantly get some unusual experiences. Anyone who would pick you up when you're dressed like this, they are definitely not an ordinary person. And that's some extraordinary people. For various types of people, some of them were perhaps not quite so pious, but most of them were extremely pious, very pious people. And I realized this was actually is a wonderful way to travel. I would spend the whole journey usually talking to somebody in the car or lorry or whatever they picked me up in, talking about Krishna consciousness, because they knew that I was something unusual and they would be prepared for something unusual when they would pick me up. So it was always very interesting. Sometimes they dropped me off prematurely, but usually it was quite interesting. And sometimes I get out prematurely. But nonetheless, it was extremely interesting. I remember one night I was dropped off by somebody. He had no choice. He was going a different way. So he dropped me off in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night, midnight, in this tiny little country lane with nothing around at all in terms of houses or cars. I stood there, and I didn't even know where I was, in some country lane in England. It was late at night. It was cold. And I was like, what am I going to do now? Miles from anywhere, maybe about 30 miles from my destination or so, somewhere in the middle of England, I don't know where it was. And I thought, wow, I don't know if any car is going to come along here anyway. It didn't look like it after about 30 minutes. And all of a sudden, a car came along. I stuck my thumb out and started to screech to a stop. I went over, and there was a person in the car. And it was a Volvo, it was a big car, which is very unusual for those type of cars to stop. You should get some less opulent one. In those days, a Volvo was a very expensive car. So the person said, are you from the Hare Krishna movement? And I said, yes, get in. Jump in. And I said, I never pick up hitchhikers. Said, but I can trust you because you are from the Hare Krishna movement, he said. Ordinary, kind of well-to-do person, nothing, not interested in Krishna consciousness. They trusted because they thought that, I don't know exactly. Anyway, they didn't just take me along the road, they took me right to the temple, which was in those days in the countryside near Birmingham somewhere, near the big temple. They took me right to the spot. It was like, I was amazed. Very pious person. And like that, and I realized this, and someone came to my mind, this section is chapter 9 of the Adi Lila, how merciful the Lord is, and how he's appearing in this world to spread these fruits of love of God. And I wrote an article, which was spontaneous, but it somehow or another, up to then, Shiva and Raj had not talked to me, I don't think, since I was in England. But then suddenly he even came up to where I was and gave me a donation. So it was I took it that this chapter was very, very significant to all of us. So I'm just going to read a few verses. It's called, I don't know what it's called. Anyway, it's a chapter about the branches of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. This movement is likened to a great tree. And love of God is likened to the fruit. Last night we were hearing about rasa, the juice within the fruit. And this is the real, these are the real fruits. Fruits of love of God. And by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's distributing these fruits. So Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, let's see, describes a little bit about how this tree expands. And Prabhupada said, our International Society for Krishna Consciousness is one of the branches of this Chaitanya tree, this tree of mercy. It's a wish, this is rather a wish fulfilling tree. It fulfills all of our Vishnu Puran, as we also hear in Rasnahatha Goswami's, by taking shelter of the branches of this tree, significant branches of the Goswami's, of course, a Vishnu Puran, all of our desires will be fulfilled. They fulfill the desires of everyone. Everyone's desires are fulfilled. Even if we have lust, greed, anger, all these things. By exposing ourselves to the mercy and association of these pure devotees, by their divine mercy, their causeless mercy, they'll engage us in various ways which will purify us and attract us to Krishna's lotus feet. So I don't want to leave anything out there. It's all so blissful. Let's start here. The fruits. As a big tree bears fruit all over its body, each part of the tree of devotional service bore fruit. Every part of it bears fruit. Prabhupada gives the example of sugar cane sometimes. Wherever you chew, it is sweet. So this whole tree is just nothing but all auspicious, this tree of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan, and all the branches, leaves, and fruits. Since Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the original trunk, the taste of the fruits that grew on the branches and sub-branches surpassed the taste of nectar. The fruits ripened and became sweet and nectarian. The gardener, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, distributed them without asking any price. This is another feature of Krishna consciousness, the mercy. It rains down. Just like the rains, they come down. The clouds don't charge money. You know, you turn the tap on, the government, the council charges you money. Some kind of bill you have to pay for water, some water bill or something. The clouds don't come on the horizon. All right, we'll rain as long as you pay us for it. They don't say that. The sun doesn't say in the morning, okay, I'll rise as long as you all pay your bills for the sunshine. I'm going to shower on you if you pay your bill. They just do it by the order of the Lord. This is his mercy in the material world. Even if we're sinner number one, lust number one, they still do it. They, at least up to a point, they shower rain and water and heat and so on. And we take it for granted. They don't ask, it's free. It's not ultimately this karma. It appears to be free. They don't directly charge. So similarly here, Lord Chaitanya is freely giving. Just take it. Just take it. That's what he's holding it out. Just take it. No, I'm too busy. I'm not interested in that. I've got to go to work. I've got to work. I've got other things, more important things to do. Why don't you get a job? What do you say? You're trying to give them Krishna consciousness. Why don't you get a job? They're just a mess. I feel somewhat under the modes of nature. But the devotee, nonetheless, is very merciful and continues to distribute the benediction, the rays of the benediction moon, chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. People, everyone who sees this chanting and dancing on the street yesterday, Keshava Prabhu took us out on Harinam Sankirtan. I think everyone who comes to the temple and whatever they see, whatever they think, I don't know, but whatever it is, if they come in front of the deity, they're eternally blessed, fortunate souls. And yesterday, so many people, and every week, of course, see the devotees dancing and chanting a picture. It creates a samskara, an impression upon their consciousness, which never goes away. Other impressions come and go by the flow of karma, but this one never goes away because it's transcendental. Krishna is all spiritual. So that impression stays on their heart. And they may even go home that very day and say, God, you won't believe who I saw on the street today. Those crazy Hare Krishnas are everywhere. But they don't say it quite as much now as they used to. They usually say, I haven't seen those crazy guys for a long time. They say that a lot now. But they remember Krishna. Whatever their mood may be, I hate the Hare Krishnas. I wish they were banned. They may say all sorts of things. And they did try that one time in the early days. One time in Germany when there was a big endeavor by the government to close down the Hare Krishna movement. They arrested all the devotees, confiscated all the properties, froze all the bank accounts, and there were numerous negative newspaper articles condemning the Hare Krishna movement. This is about 75 or something in Germany. And they arrested all the devotees. It was quite an event. So the newspapers were full of headlines, you know, this dangerous cult, and so on and so forth. And everywhere, it's in German, couldn't read a word of it, it's all in German. Except for there was maybe no German word for Krishna and Ram and Hari, it just came as it is. So that's all you could read. If you looked at the newspaper, it was Krishna, Ram, Hari. So they brought these newspaper articles to Prabhupada. Say, Srila Prabhupada, there's some terrible publicity against our movement in Germany. And they showed Prabhupada the articles, and Prabhupada looked at the articles, of course he didn't read German. So all he saw were headlines, Hare Krishna this, Hare Krishna that, Hare and Homa Mantra, so maybe they also sometimes. And all about Krishna, so look, everywhere, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, this is a sign of a good article. So Prabhupada said, this is very good articles. Previously in Germany, hardly anyone had heard of the Hare Krishna overnight. Everybody in Germany was asking, what is this Hare Krishna movement? Who are they? They made it quite famous overnight. In Germany, at least. Anyway, this is a negative approach, but by the grace of Krishna, in time, it may not happen immediately in that case, but in time they'll become purified. And Shishupala, it took a while before he got the mercy as well. But he was constantly approaching Krishna with the wrong intent. But eventually he got the mercy. And the same thing here. So Lord Chaitanya is, he's given the mercy to everybody, and even to animals, and all kinds of living entities received the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and awoke their dormant love of God. Tasting the fruits, so that we lose all taste for all other fruits. This is the prum drishtva navajate, the higher taste. You have no interest in the lower taste. That would be nice. All the wealth in the three worlds cannot equal the value of one such nectarian fruit of devotional service. Not even one. And they're unlimited. And they're not only unlimited, but they're everlasting. You know, the fruit in this world, you get a mango or something and it's gone once you've eaten it. And then you're wondering, there's no more mangoes, and you want another mango. And it's, frustrating sometimes. But these fruits are unlimited. The more you taste, the more they increase. They increase, like, transcendental. Not considering, now here's a very wonderful verse. Not considering who asked for it and who did not, nor who was fit and who was unfit to receive it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed the fruit of devotional service. And this is the verse which really stuck in my mind at that time, back there in 70, whatever it was, in England. And here Prabhupada says in the purport, this is the sum and substance of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. There is no distinction made between those who are fit and those who are not fit. Even if you are not very fit, you're not doing enough exercise. Even if you're not fit, Lord Chaitanya does not exclude you. Or sometimes they say not fit or not fat. Even if you're fat or not fat, the Lord does not exclude anybody. Everybody is eligible because we're all His parts and parcels. No one is excluded. Even the worms, the germs, everyone gets the mercy. He does not distinguish between those who are fit and those who are not fit to hear or take part in the Sankirtan movement. It should therefore be preached without discrimination. The only purpose of the preachers of the Sankirtan movement must be to go on preaching without restriction. That is the way in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced this Sankirtan movement to the world. And now we're going to get that taste. When we assist the Lord, and then here's His request. The transcendental garden of Chaitanya Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed handful after handful of fruit in all directions, and when the poor, hungry people ate the fruit, the gardener smiled with great pleasure. So when people get this fruit of bhakti, devotion service, the Lord smiles. He's happy. Mm-hmm. Who wants to make Lord Chaitanya happy? Anybody? One or two. And everybody. This is the way we have to distribute the fruit which we've been given to others. Lord Chaitanya thus addressed the multifarious varieties of branches and sub-branches of the tree of devotional service. So He's talking to us. Prabhupada's always said this ISKCON movement is one of the branches or sub-branches of the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Since the tree of devotional service, He said, is transcendental, every one of its parts can perform the action of all the others. The nature of transcendental talk, subject matter. It is not limited in the same way that material branches are limited. Although a tree is supposed to be immovable, this tree nevertheless moves. All the parts of this tree are spiritually cognizant, and thus as they grow up, they spread all over the world. I, Lord Chaitanya says, am the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? That is His request to us. Prabhupada says in the purport, here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu indicates that the distribution of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra should be performed by combined forces. Although He is the Supreme Personality of God, He laments, how can I act alone? How can I alone pick the fruit and distribute all over the world? This indicates that all classes of devotees should combine to distribute the Hare Krishna Mahamantra without consideration of the time, place, or situation. We shouldn't forget this. The purpose of our movement is to distribute the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. This is the purpose Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Instruction. The purpose of the Krishna Consciousness Movement is to facilitate, to provide facility so people can come and chant Hare Krishna. So what our movements are really, many other aspects of glorification of Krishna are there, forms of devotion service, but the primary one is to distribute the holy name. This is Yuga Dharma. This charity begins at home. When we ourselves are applying it, then we may be feeling more inspired or enthusiastic to distribute it to others. Next verse. It would certainly be a very laborious task to pick the fruits and distribute them alone, and still I suspect that some would receive them and others would not. It's another form of the Lord's mercy. This is another form of His mercy. He could certainly do it alone, no problems, but He leaves it to others so they can get this ecstatic taste of distributing these fruits to others. This is the highest taste. His highest taste of distributing Krishna consciousness, which was explained by the gopis. Let's see, was that 30? The 31st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a famous verse sung by the gopis and also spoken by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and King Pratapa Rudra, which was so dear to the Lord, so dear that when he heard this verse emanating from the mouth of Pratapa Rudra Maharaj, he didn't care that this was a king anymore. He just got up and embraced him. And he says, "You are my best friend. You are giving me something like the most valuable gems. Carry on, carry on." And this was the most valuable gem, which really attracted Lord Chaitanya to Pratapa Rudra Maharaj. This was by the mercy of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He received this mercy. Tapakatamitam tapta jivanam kavividitam tamasapam shravanamangalam srimaratatam bhuvivinantiye puridajanam. This verse, sung by the gopis. The gopis' songs of separation. So in separation makes the heart grow fonder. So in separation the experience of these fruits is even greater. The nectar of your words and the description of your activities are the life and soul of those suffering in this material world. These narrations transmitted by learned sages eradicate one's sinful reactions and bestow good fortune, this is Skleshagni and Shubhra, and bestow good fortune upon whoever hears them. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Certainly those who spread the message of Godhead are the most munificent. Buddha Janaha, these persons are most beneficent, most munificent. So we have this wonderful opportunity to follow this request now which the Lord makes. He says, Atteva amiyagya gilam sabakare yaham taham prema pala deha yaritare. Therefore I order every man within this universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. Lord Chaitanya is giving an order here to everyone. He said, I am the only gardener. If I do not distribute these fruits, what shall I do with them? How many fruits can I alone eat? Don't be miserly. Distribute the fruits and more fruits will come. So many more will come. You offer whatever we've got. Now, sometimes it's like prasadam time. I have this tendency as prasadam time and mahat there. And, oh no, there's some guests have come. Less for me. Oh no, they'll probably want the samosa. There won't be any left for me. Sometimes my wicked heart thinks like that. But we should be happy to distribute the mercy. Krishna will provide. He will provide. By the transcendental desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, water has been sprinkled all over the tree. And thus there are innumerable fruits of love of Godhead. Distribute, Lord Chaitanya says, distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Let the people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and death. Otherwise, the Krishna consciousness movement introduced by Lord Chaitanya is extremely important because one who takes to it becomes eternal, being freed from birth, death and old age. People do not recognize that the real distress in life are birth, death, old age, and disease. They are so foolish that they resign themselves to these four miseries, not knowing the transcendental remedy of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from all misery. But because they are enchanted by the illusory energy, people do not take this movement seriously. The Lord has come in his merciful form, Nan Prabhu. Therefore, those who are actually servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must seriously distribute this movement all over the world to render the greatest benefit to human society. Of course, animals and other lower species are not capable of understanding this movement, but if even a small number of living beings take it seriously, by their chanting loudly,
All living entities, including even trees, animals, and other lower species, will be benefited. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from Haridas Thakur how he was to benefit living entities other than humans, Srila Haridas Thakur replied that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so potent that if it is chanted loudly, everyone will benefit, including the lower species of life. Next verse. If the fruits are distributed, Lord Chaitanya said, all over the world, my reputation as a pious man will be known everywhere, and thus all people will glorify my name with great pleasure. This is a roundabout way of showering mercy, also why he took sannyas, so that people would offer him respect and thus become purified. One who has taken, the next verse, very famous verse, Bharata Bhumite Hoya Manushya Janma Jara Janma Satya Kari Kara Para Upakar. Para Upakar is the devotees, always thinking of the benefit for others, the welfare of others. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India. Anyone taken their birth here in the land of India? Anybody? Mahatma Prabhu? You took your birth in the land of India? Anybody else? Yeah, three or four devotees, and five, six devotees took their birth here. In the land of India, Bharatvarsh should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. Prabhupada talks about how he, just one humble man, one humble person coming from that place, took it up, and he's appealing to all, not just himself, but all Indians, to take this up and spread it all over the world, give these fruits. But instead, you were not even tasting the fruits ourselves. Instead, you were coming to taste the bitter neem fruit in New York, Melbourne, Sydney. Instead of coming here, you're different, but most come here to taste the so-called fruit, karma fall, the fruit of material existence. This is a misfortune. The Lord Chaitanya is appealing to all those, not just Prabhupada says, this is not only the duty of Indians, but the duty of everyone. And we are very happy that American and European boys and girls are seriously cooperating with this movement. One should know definitely that the best welfare activity for all of human society is to awaken man's God consciousness or Krishna consciousness. Therefore, everyone should help this great movement. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is next quoted. It is the duty, actually this is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 22nd chapter, verse 35. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. It's a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Next verse. By his work, thoughts, and words, an intelligent man must perform actions which will be beneficial for all living entities in this life and in the next. There's long purports, we won't read them. Time is expiring. I am merely a gardener. I have neither a kingdom nor very great riches. I simply have some fruits and flowers that I wish to utilize to achieve piety in my life. Although I am acting as a gardener, I also want to be the tree, for thus I can bestow benefit upon all. Just see how these trees are maintaining every living entity. Their birth is successful, their behavior is just like that of great personalities. For anyone who asks anything from a tree never goes away disappointed. The descendants of the tree were very glad to receive this order directly from the Lord. The fruit of love of God is so tasteful that wherever a devotee distributes it, those who relish the fruit anywhere in the world immediately become intoxicated. The fruit of love of Godhead distributed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is such a great intoxicant that anyone who eats it, filling his belly, immediately becomes maddened by it, and automatically he chants, dances, laughs, and enjoys. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great gardener, sees that people are chanting, dancing, and laughing, and that some of them are rolling on the floor, and some are making loud humming sounds, he smiles with great pleasure. This sometimes happens after a wonderful feast. Mahaprasada, we had a big feast, and you roll on the floor making strange humming sounds. But not so often, but occasionally this may happen. Purport. The attitude of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very important for persons engaged in the Hare Krishna movement of Krishna consciousness. In every center of the institution, ISKCON, we have arranged for a love feast every Sunday. And when we actually see people come to our center, chant, dance, take prasadam, become jubilant and purchase books, we know that certainly Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always present in such transcendental activities, and he is very pleased and satisfied. Therefore, the members of ISKCON must increase this movement more and more according to the principles that we are presently trying to execute. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thus being pleased, will smilingly glance upon them, bestowing his favor, and the movement will be successful. Next verse. The great gardener, Lord Chaitanya, personally eats the fruit, and as a result, he constantly remains mad, as if helpless and bewildered. With his Sangatam movement, the Lord made everyone mad like himself. We do not find anyone who was not intoxicated by his Sangatam movement. Persons who had formerly criticized Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, calling him a drunkard, also ate the fruit and began to dance, saying, "Very good. Very good." That's the end of that little pastime or section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, describing the distribution of these fruits of love of God by the causeless mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is Nishayasya. This is the most beneficial or magnanimous act that the Lord appears in this world, displays his pastimes. In the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's making it very easy for everyone to enter into his pastimes. And when Krishna came, it wasn't perhaps quite so easy. You even see the gopis, where some of them were having difficulty entering into the pastimes, at least externally. So the Lord has made it very easy. Everyone can participate in this dancing and chanting and feasting. It's not too difficult. At least everyone can take prasadam. You have your prasadam addicts here in Melbourne. There's a famous temple for prasadam addicts. They come rain, wind and snow. Even we may not go, but they're there for free prasadam, mahaprasadam, whatever. They're addicted. It's a good addiction. They may be addicted to a few other things, but this addiction will stay with them, the others will go away. So somehow the Lord is so merciful, most merciful, he's allowing everyone to take part in Sankirtan. Even the birds, beasts, insects, everybody. Thank you very much. Pantarara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Are there any comments or questions? It's an immeasurable topic. Yeah, that we cannot do. Sometimes we can't even take prasadam. There are conversations with Prabhupada, the Buddha says, think this prasadam is not good for you. Not healthy. And I guess it depends what we want. You want the material fruit, prayer, or you want the shreyas? Of course the prasadam should be. Probably another time he said, cook should be a little, you know, words, but should be conscious to prepare prasadam in such a way that it is, you know, palatable, tasty, and healthy. At least should be for the devotees. But at the same time, this we cannot even do practically. Dance, standing like a statue. Chant, lips closed. Prasadam time, you run up the stairs, mouth opens. Something is better than nothing. Much better. But this dancing and chanting is directly transcendental. When the deity, when Shishi Radhabalava see you dancing and chanting here, they smile. We're not dancing and chanting to attract the boys and the girls. Maybe we have that, but if we dance and chant in front of the deities, by their mercy, that will go away. Because they're happy. Even a drunkard, when the Lord sees drunkards dancing and chanting, he's happy also. I know we were all drunkards of various kinds. Our business is to make the Lord happy. He may not be able to see with our blunt senses, but the purpose is that he should be smiling. He should be happy. We're supposed to be doing everything for his pleasure. We're supposed to be developing love of God. If we love somebody, we should behave in a way that pleases them, dress in a way that pleases them, talk in a way that pleases them, offer them what pleases them, behave in a way that pleases them, and so on. And this pleases them. When we dance and chant, even though we may be a little bit wild sometimes, we may not be so graceful as Lord Chaitanya's personal associates, but nonetheless, it's very pleasing. It's like your child. You don't expect him to behave in such a controlled or way that an adult behaves, but you're very pleased when a child does this and that in general. So, like that, the Lord is very pleased when he sees the devotees coming into the temple room, chanting Hare Krishna, dancing, trying to understand this Krishna consciousness, talking about it, doing cleaning the floor of the temple, doing service. Like that, the Lord is very, very pleased. And this is how we become happy. Prabhupada would say, don't try to see Krishna, act in a way that Krishna will see you. Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj would say that. This is our business, to learn how to act for Krishna's pleasure. This is the great mercy of the pure devotee. He is giving us this opportunity. So then we can taste this fruit of love of God. Yes? I don't know. I look it up in the dictionary. I'm sure there's dictionary. I'm not very good at these things. I should think maybe. Anyone offhand can. A quality and an attribute. Pardon?
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord. Oh, you mean in terms of the Lord Himself? I was thinking of the words. His qualities and His attributes.
Yes.
Pardon?
Synonymous.
The difference is synonymous. That means no difference. They're synonymous. I haven't thought about it, and I haven't perhaps heard. If I have, I haven't remembered it. Anyone might use it. Just to think about it is very nice, even if that's the beauty about Krishna consciousness, whichever angle you think of it, there's some benefit is bestowed. And then Lord Chaitanya said that, and if you are inclined towards logic and reason analysis, then apply it to Lord Kaviraj Goswami. Apply it to the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He says something like that. It was verses there. Apply it to this mercy. It's good if we apply all of these different queries in relationship with Krishna. It's very enlightening. Very nice. If anyone has any more comment on that one, please share it.
We can say that Krishna having a food is an attribute of Krishna. And Krishna smiling is a quality of Krishna.
Uh-huh. Mercy is a quality. Yes.
Nectar devotion is 64 qualities of Krishna. Krishna is one of those qualities.
Okay, so it's also a quality. So we're back to synonymous again. I thought we were getting somewhere there. It's whatever it is wonderful. His qualities, his attributes, everything about him is all perfect and complete. Om Purnam Adap Purnamidam Puna Punam Achiti Punasya Punamaya Puramiva Rishiti. And everything emanating from him is completely perfect. The only thing that's not perfect is our perception of it. That's why we see imperfection. Otherwise, that's mercy when we start to see everything in relation to Krishna. Everything. Every word. Every thing that exists in relation to Krishna. Okay. Guntaraj Sriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi. Did everyone get this mercy? In the form of these waters from the holy places. Anybody didn't get? Or anybody did get who wants a little more? We've still got some left. This is from
Bhagavatam.
braving the winter.